domarcih pomorče belih družin. Kako bo letos organizirana obramba pred točo?
Listke imam zelene in prav lepo dišim.
Ovogodišnji agrarni budžet nije ne izbliza u iznosu onom koji odgovara poljoprivredi.
If you are contaminated by Monsanto's GMOs, you no longer own your seeds or plants.
Kijavo seme!
Agroprogram
Radio Student.
Zdravo, 4-3 dni so na okoli in z vami spet oddaja Kilavo seme. Oddaja o vrtičkanju, kmetijski politiki, okolju in skvotiranju. Kaj bomo slišali danes?
Evo, v osrednjem delu oziroma v dveh delih se bomo dotaknili dveh, recimo temu, svetovnih kriznih zarišč. V osrednjem delu nekaj o Rusiji, tam prihaja malo informacij o aktivističnih bojih. No, mi si sposojamo tokrat od tovariškega radijskega projekta Frekvenca intervju o okoljskih bojih v Rusiji. Še pred tem pa bomo pokomentirali krizo, ki je nastala z vojno v Iranu. Ok, vsi vemo, vojne bad. Evo, mi pa bomo izpostavili prehransko nevarnost, ki v bistvu preti zdaj globalno zaradi tega konflikta.
Ok, no, v tretjem delu pa klasični kilavi psihoaktivni kotiček, beseda meseca je boreč. Za konec pa še kar ene par najav, med drugim bomo klicali še
v ambasado Rok, kajti danes se pripravlja shod proti rasizmu in represiju v Miklošičevem parku ob 5. Več pa v napovedi. Gremo naprej.
Gnojimo veter.
Iranska vojna je prehranska kriza.
Vojna v Iranu, ki naj bi se končala v nekaj dneh, traja že skoraj en mesec. V današnjem komentarju osvetlujemo nekaj dejstev, ki zadevajo prehransko varnost, pridelavo hrane in njeno distribucijo, ter druge posledice iranske vojne na celoten agronomski sektor. Sestavek je povzet po članku profesorja Raja Patela z Univerze Lyndona Johnsona v Teksasu, poleg tega tudi pisca za spletni portal Civil Eats.
V času, ko se pol sveta pripravlja na spomladansko pripravo zemlje in sejanje rastlinskih kultur, je blokiranega okoli 30% transporta umetnih gnojil. Med glavnimi organskimi spojinami urea ter fosfor in dušik, ki so nujno potrebne za uspešen začetek pridelovalne sezone. Države po celem svetu že iščejo vse možne načine, da bi ohranile cene gnojil dostopne, vendar je to precej teže kot na primer pri naftnih derivatih, kjer obstajajo določene blagovne rezerve, ki za umetna gnojila ne obstajajo.
Industrijski način proizvodne hrane je poleg tega močno odvisen od naftne ter petrokemične industrije po celotni verigi. Od goriva za traktorje in druge kmetijske stroje ter transporta, do umetnih spojin pri procesiranju in plastične embalaže pri pakiranju, pa do plina pri kuhanju doma ali v menzah, gostilnah in drugih prehranjevalnih obratih. Omitev transporta naftnih derivatov in umetnih gnojil ima tako negativne sinergične učinke skozi čas – Primanjkljaj nafte bo dražil hrano že sedaj. Primanjkljaj umetnih gnojil pa z naslednjo sezono. Z vsakim dnem vojne v Iranu so projekcije za pridelavo in transport hrane za letos in prihodnje leto vse slabše.
Za ilustracijo je povedna zgodba iz leta 2022, ko je Rusija napadla Ukrajino in so se cene umetnih gnojil kar potrojile v primerjavi s cenami iz leta 2020. Proces dražitve je potekalo v dveh smereh. Rusija je med večjimi proizvajalci ureje, poleg tega pa skupaj z Belorusijo proizvede okoli 40% kalijevih gnojil. Zahodne sankcije so dostop do teh gnojil precej otežile. Hkrati s tem pa je Rusija evropskim državam omejila dostop do plina, kar je podražilo produkcijo umetnih gnojil v Evropi. Vse skupaj je kulminiralo v najvišjem indeksu cen hrane pri Organizaciji Združenih narodov za prehrano in kmetijstvo FAO, na terenu pa je to pomenilo veliko izpostavljenost tveganju lakote milijonom ljudi po celem svetu.
Medtem, ko se je tako kot med koronakrizo uporabljal narativ skupnega žrtvovanja, je v resnici prišlo do ogromnega prenosa bogatstva. Kmetje so se soočili s 300-odstotnim povečanjem stroškov gnojil, potrošniki pa z najvišjo inflacijo cen hrane v zadnjih 40 letih. Na drugi strani so glavni akterji v prehranski verigi. To so mesni predelovalci, veliki proizvajalci žita ter oligopol na področju gnojil, zaslužili rekordne vsote.
Ameriška analiza, ki jo je naročila Bela hiša v času predsednika Bidna, je pokazala, da se je čisti dobiček štirih največjih pridelovalcev mesa od začetka pandemije povečal za 500%. Analiza Inštituta za kmetijstvo in trgovinsko politiko v SDA pa je pokazala, da je 9 največjih svetovnih podjetij za gnojila v letu 2022 skoraj podvojilo svoje dobičke na 49 milijard dolarjev. Pri podjetju CF Industries so se dobički v letu 2022 povečali za 212%, čeprav so proizvodni stroški povečali le za 28%.
Podoben scenarij se obeta tudi sedaj. Glede na to, da so zalivske države glavne izvoznice ureje in da je mrtvi mesec za transport umetnih gnojil le januar, lahko v naslednjih tednih in mesecih pričakujemo bolj ali manj katastrofične scenarije za male kmete in delavski razred po vsem svetu, ter na drugi strani enormne dobičke velikih igralcev na področju kmetijstva.
nami še zmeraj kilovo seme na valovih Radija Študent in smo pri osrednjem intervjuju, kjer bomo poslušali Vitalija Severtnika iz Rusije, iz Environmental Crisis Group, intervju o okoljskih bojih v Rusiji, sicer v celoti dostopen na tovariškem radijskem projektu Frekvenca iz Leipciga. Prisluhnimo.
Today we have a chance to talk about environmental activism in Russia and repressions against it. We have a person to talk with. Can you please introduce yourself with your preferred name and affiliation, which makes sense for this talk?
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm Vitaly Servetnik. I'm affiliated with Environmental Crisis Group. It's a small initiative from Russia that monitors persecution of environmental defenders in Russia, and we also report on the persecutions and try to support activists in need, and also we are trying to kind of ignite solidarity with environmental prisoners and people under pressure, and asking communities, environmental communities and other communities to express their solidarity with the persecuted environmental defenders.
Could you probably, for listeners that have no idea about how environmental protest or resistance looks like in Russia, tell about some specific case you could highlight, or just describe a little bit how such a protest or action could look like, and what's the repression people have to expect, and so on?
But I will start with a little bit of the context, because, I mean, it's not like repression started with the full-scale invasion of Ukraine. I would say we kind of looking at that as a long process, starting with Putin coming into power in the year 2000. And one of his first decrees was to kind of demolish independent environmental protection agency in Russia. That was one of his first decrees in the year 2000. And which weakened environmental protection. And since that, we have seen year by year kind of two parallel trends. First trend was this constant deregulation of environmental legislation, and that was done for the purpose of supporting the economy. And there was economic crisis 2008, then it was sanctions after Crimea annexation, and then it was COVID, and then full-scale invasion of Ukraine and other sanctions. And always, business wanted to some support and less regulations, and state was supporting that. And it's all ended with deregulation of environmental sphere, with weaker environmental standards, with less possibility for public participation in decision-making around environmental issues. That's the one thing. And another one is a general trend on shrinking civic space. And that's something that environmental movement sharing with human rights movement and other movements, and in general restrictions on the freedom of expression, association, media, protest, etc. So these two kind of trends for 25 years already kind of framing environmental movement in a way. This was happening year by year, like every year we had some, or almost every year we had some small changes that made it more and more difficult to defend the environment and more restrictions, etc. Together with kind of this general trend, we had some, I would say, milestones in this way, and the foreign agent law was one of the biggest milestones in this way in 2012. The law was introduced, and in 2014 it started being implemented towards different organizations. Like organizations were forcibly labeled as foreign agents, and that imposed also different restrictions. And year by year, restrictions were made stricter. So that was kind of an important also period, because that was kind of targeting environmental NGOs, which were, I would say, kind of institutionalized part of environmental movement, in a way, like professionalized environmentalist experts that were working on kind of more systemic level. They were able to monitor legislation, changes in the legislation, kind of big infrastructure project well ahead and maybe criticize it, ask to change this project somehow or stop some of these projects. Some environmental problems like weren't created because of that work of many NGOs. And when these NGOs were labeled foreign agents and forced to close down, and they had less kind of power to influence decision making, and some experts just started working as independent experts, but they still had less kind of capacity to influence these decisions. And then we have seen that since that period, kind of an environmental problem started to kind of shift to the later stage of its implementation. And then already local people started seeing environmental problems in their face, basically. So like that would be, the project wouldn't be stopped on the previous kind of, I don't know, environmental impact assessment stage. And that means that people will see some equipment or a fence around their forest next to their house, and they would ask like, oh my gosh, what the hell? We don't want that. What we can do? And usually there are not much what they can do because it's already approved by different institutions, etc. So people just started, I don't know, fell down the fence or stop equipment with their bodies, basically, or like just protesting in front of the construction site or something like that. And that creates a kind of different type of activism. It's more kind of local, more confrontational, and more political, I would say. I mean, that's a separate conversation about perceiving environmental activism as political or not. More like public politics, I would say, than just like expert consultation and this kind of negotiations with authorities and businesses, etc. And that resulted in more protest, more persecution for the protests. And this is still for a number of years already a bigger kind of type of persecution. So people just basically arrested at the protest, people beaten at the protest, people detained, people fined for protesting, people injured. This is still the main form of persecution. Of course, if people kind of continue in their dissatisfaction with what authorities are doing, and people keep resisting, then leaders of the protest could be targeted in a more kind of specific way. They could be charged with, I don't know, all sorts of, Russia developed all sorts of legislation to persecute people, and then this, such individuals could be persecuted with harder charges, or people could be individually attacked, or their property could be damaged. Like we have cases when the cars of activists are burned down, for example, or their house is put on fire, and stuff like that. And maybe they also charged with different, if they are like leaders of the protest groups, for example, like spreading information and posting a lot about their problem, they could be charged with kind of this SLAPP, strategic litigation against public participation cases. So they would be charged for speaking bad about the company, for example, and fined and charged for that also. But the main way of persecution is still kind of this clashes, fights, activists being beaten at the protest, because protest is remaining the main kind of form of expression, disagreement with environmental policies and with what just development that happening in different places.
As we know, you just published a report on repression monitoring and from 2025. Can you maybe tell us what does your monitoring or report shows, like which tendencies, or maybe also if you want to call some numbers, you can do?
I can do that. And in general, I can say that last year, the number of persecution cases increased compared to the previous year, the 2024, but it's on the same level, similar level to 2023, for example. 2022 was a peak, I mean, which various factors. It's like also different processes that started before the full-scale invasion and just continued, because people, if people defended their forest, they just didn't stop with the invasion. I mean, some people started protesting the war and other things, but some people continued with their environmental struggles. But the last year, what we have seen that it's an increase in basically all types of persecution, and it's bigger total number of what we call episodes of persecution. So we had like 151 episodes, and by episode we mean kind of one day, one moment of persecution. So that could include multiple people, for example. But if there are protests next day, then that would be another episode. So we have 151 episodes. And at the same time, we have 155 activists persecuted, which also could be some activists could be persecuted several times during the year, which quite often the case, because people continue defending their rights and fight for what they believe in. We have these two numbers to look at. Maybe the most severe, basically every year we have documented one death of environmental defenders, and that was a case of activist defending forest, and he was kind of on a night watch in some building in the forest, and someone put the building on fire. The activist was injured and then died after several days in hospital. Local activists believe that was made on purpose, so therefore he's in our report this year. Then we also had like 12 new criminal cases. We had 3 convictions with criminal cases, which also could be, I mean, usually criminal cases considered for a long period of time, quite often more than a year. So it means that some cases could have been initiated in the previous years. But anyway, we had 3 convictions and 2 a real imprisonment for 4.5 and 5 years imprisonment for different people. We also have environmental prisoners, a separate category, and we include everyone with restricted freedom, even freedom of movement, people under home arrest, for example. And so we're still considering them, all them environmental prisoners. Currently, we have 11 environmental prisoners in our list. In 2025, we have added 3 people to the list. Yeah, so we also constantly writing about them, bringing attention to their cases, asking people to write them letters, donate some money for their support, etc. Because it's a solidarity and they really need some attention and some communication and to know that they're not alone.
And what would you say, what kind of support or solidarity is needed from outside Russia? Yeah, what do you need or what people in Russia need?
I mean, basically, solidarity and different forms of support, that's difficult to support directly, especially with like restrictions on the financial support, etc., informational support. Even some people are trying to stay away from public statements and public statements of public support from especially Western European organizations, because they are seen as rivals for the Russian regime. I would start, first of all, it's important to follow what's happening in Russia and seeing difference between the regime, the elite of the regime, and the ordinary people in Russia that have little influence on what regime is doing, especially activists and civil society that for years were opposing the regime in different ways, and they're victims of the regime and this aggression also. So at least to see these differences, and then also seeing that resistance is still happening in different forms, and maybe some people would like to see it in a different forms, but people resisting in the forms that they feel they can do, because they have to always kind of balance the risks and what they can do, how much they can risk in their protest. But still kind of spreading information about that protests and civil society and environmental activism still exists in Russia, and they're still resisting and they need support, probably indirect support through kind of smaller networks and all sorts of communication through our group, through maybe other groups. yeah, they could be supported in different ways, their struggles. I mean, also financially, there are possibilities to support us also, for example, our work, but also other organizations. And especially solidarity with persecuted activists and environmental prisoners. And there are ways to write letters, to maybe organize events in different countries, to raise awareness about the situation, to raise some money, to write letters to environmental prisoners in Russia, etc. And of course, just talk about maybe broader about solidarity and support. I mean, also for the listeners in, I mean, not only in Europe now, everywhere, you know, just like dealing with your right-wing regimes, that also would support a lot, you know. I mean, yeah, just making sure that you have governments that are still open for international cooperation, for support of different civil societies, because now we are seeing everywhere across the globe that there are more kind of nationalistic approach across different countries. So just like fixing your own regimes, your own country's political situation would also help to Russian civil society a lot. Yeah, I would say that.
Thank you for your time and for your great work that you do, and that you don't leave people alone or in the feeling that they're alone. And a lot of strength to you and those environmental and anti-war activists inside of Russia.
Thank you very much for your interest.
Zelenim otpadom.
Ja kompostiram.
I mi kompostiramo.
Kompostira pa tudi kilavo seme.
kilave psihoaktivne rastline.
Boreč.
Boreč, Borago officinalis ali Boraga, je enoletna rastlina, razširjena po Evropi in Sredozemlju. Pogosta je na vrtovih, ob njivah in na ruderalnih rastiščih. Prepoznavna je po modrih, zvezdastih cvetovih in hrapavih listih z belimi dlačicami ter rahlo kumaričnim okusom. Na vrt privablja mnoge opraševalce. Rastlino se uživa predvsem svežo v solatah, popareno ali posušeno v čajih.
Njena kemična sestava omogoča široko uporabo. Vse od pospeševanja znojenja, čiščenja krvi, krepitve srca, lajšanje izkašljevanja, zdravljenje revmatizma ter želočnih in črevesnih bolezni do blaženja raznih vnetnih stanj in kožnih izpuščajev. Boreč je znan tudi kot rastlina, ki deluje kot sedativ, a hkrati izboljšuje razpoloženje in mili depresijo. Olje semen naj bi prav tako blažilo menstrualne težave in mačka.
Z čarovniškega stališča borečev čaj spodbuja psihične moči, medtem ko naj bi sveži cvetovi krepili pogum in pomagali pri zaščiti proti zlim silam. Stranski učinki boreča niso znani.
What do you want? When do you want it? How do you want it?
Pašo priporočamo.
Ekola, pa smo se počas prekotalili skoraj do konca oddaje. Začetek imamo še par obvestil in najav. Začenjamo pa s čim?
Ja, z protestom Nina Strah, shod proti rasizmu in represiji, in kdo bi to lahko bolje napovedal kot ambasada Rok, ki ga je sklicala. Pozdrav, ali se slišimo? Aha, smo na liniji? Ja, Madonna Santa. Ola, Miha. Tukaj samo neko šušlanje. Kaj se dogaja? Da, no, ok, mogoče morda več o tem kasneje, ajde, mi gremo pa pol naprej z napovedmi, tako jih imamo ful velik.
No, pa povejmo nekaj drugega, kar ne vključuje telefonskih klicev. Recimo, kaj pa alternativna tržnica?
Kaj je z alternativna tržnica?
Ja, kdaj pa bo naslednja alternativna tržnica?
Ja, mislim, da je prvi torek v mesecu.
To pa je 7. april. Od 18. do 19. ure v A Infoshopu na Metelkovi. Torej, inicijativa za alternativno distribucijo dobrin nadaljuje z alternativnimi tržnicami na Metelkovi in prakso nadgrajuje z vzpostavitvijo distribucijske točke, kjer je možno naročati dobrine vnaprej glede na ponudbo, menjati na alternativni tržnici ali se prijaviti za morebitna zadružna oziroma skupna naročila.
Torej, gre za neko obogateno inicijativo te stare prakse alternativne tržnice, ki je malo zginila iz zemljevida kot, kot redni mesečni dogodek. Zdaj se je v bistvu razširila na alternativno distribucijo, ki vključuje več različnih metod, poleg klasične alternativne tržnice, kjer se menja, da je prostovoljne prispevke in tako naprej, vključuje tudi prednaročila in pa skupne nabave. Tako da tudi zaradi tega, kaj to je čez ene 14 dni, ne, nekaj tazga, se v bistvu lahko ljudje pol počekirajo tabelo za naročili in v bistvu vnaprej tudi naročijo stvari, ki bi jih radi imeli. Tako da recimo ta zadnja tržnica, a kakšne besedo še v zadnji tržnici, je bila kar fascinantna, ne?
Ja, zgleda se je kar dobro odvil, sploh glede na kakšne recimo pesimistične vizije, ki so tudi krožile okoli. Tako da ja, zaenkrat brez pripomb.
Ok, in dobili se dejansko ful veliko stvari, ne? tako. Od jajc, moke, olivno olje, vino, sveže stvari, svašta.
Tako da, vabljeni, vabljeni, to, bo, to je čez 12 dni, mislim, da ne, to pride, takoj po praznikih.
Ajde, pa grejo pa naprej še na druge napovedi. Zadrugo Urbana organizira delavnico gobarjenja. To se bo šlo v gost.
Niti malo, niti malo. Mislim, da se bomo družili na Metelkovi. To je pa en dan pred tržnico, 6. april od recimo 13. dalje. Nekje na Metelkovi, glede na vreme, bomo videli, kje se dobimo. Počeli bomo pa kaj?
Ja, ne vem, povej. micelije bomo potikali, ne?
Torej, micelij Bukovega Ostrigarja se bo potikal v lesene, v kose lesa. Mislim, da, je, da smo dobili en jesen, tako da vabljeni, če vas to zanima, tudi rabili bomo par rok, tako da to je 6. april od 13. dalje nekje na Metelkovi.
Tako da gobarjenje in potem se nam obeta gobarjenje na Metelkovi in ne v gozdu. Tako da kar zanimiva praksa, če koga še zanima, mogoče bodo tu še kakšni miceli viška ustali, če bi kdo jih potem še domov odnesel, pa še doma se kaj z njimi igral. Tako da to bo pa pač nek praktičen prikaz, kako se to naredi in, in potem lahko gobe pričakujemo kdaj.
Ja, ne kar takoj, ne kar takoj, najbrž morda še letos, morda drugo leto.
Ok, izgleda pa, da na liniji že imamo ambasado Rok, to drži? Se slišimo?
Ja, nima metra.
Ejo, jaz te zdaj slišim. Zdravo.
Halo.
Ejo, a mi slišiš, Miha? Oh, kakšni problemi s telefonskim klicem. In to vsakeč, ko je na vrsti kilo vsem, pa to je neverjetno. Se slišimo? Mislim, zgleda, da se nekaj ne slišimo v redu, tako da. Ok, kaj ćemo pol? Ja, bomo pa mi napovedali pol.
Ja, zgleda.
Ta protest, ne, kaj ćeš. Torej, kot že malo napovedano, ni na strah, shod proti rasizmu in represiji. Danes, 26.3. ob 17. v Miklošičevem parku v Ljubljani. V zadnjih tednih smo bili v Ljubljani priča hudim rasističnim napadom na tujce, na tuje delavce in študente. Povečuje se število napadov na manjšine, na brezdomce ali ostarele prebivalce. Zamaskirani moški hodijo po mestu in pretepajo tuje delavce, ter se s tem hvalijo na Instagramu. Nestrpnost in sovraštvo se nebrzano širita, tako da mislim, da je pač naloga vsakega od nas, da se temu zoprostavimo, da se temu zoprostavimo kot družba in skupaj pokažemo, da je to nesprejemljivo in da se mislimo odločni zoprostaviti vsem takšnim posegom. Eden od teh datumov je tudi danes ob 5. v Miklošičevem parku, tako da toplo priporočamo, Ljubljana je in bo antifašistično mesto. Pokažemo to skupaj. Evo, recimo, da je to lahko tako.
Pridite. Kaj pa še za konec? Nekaj smo hoteli še o bad news povedati.
Ok, bad news. Torej, mesečna kolažna oddaja mednarodne anarhistične in antivtralne mreže radio, katere del je tudi Kilo Oseme. Tokrat predstavlja 100. bad news, kar je kar uredali. 100. oddajo, 100. skupno oddajo. Predvajala se bo tudi na Radio Študent, to soboto, najbrž ob 11.
Evo, zdaj pa najbrž, da smo kar vse povedali. Tako da, to je to, imejte se lepo, mi se slišimo čez 4 tedne.
Čau.
Ajde.
Thanks to today's mechanized farming, there's more time for the family to visit in the town nearby. Time for the boys and girls to meet friends for a swim before the pool closes for the winter. Time to shop for new clothes, to look at new equipment.
Kilavo seme!
Agroprogram
Radio Študent.